So, after a long, long time away, plotting, we're finally here. Welcome to Worship with Isaiah and Friends. But yeah, no, it's exciting. We're finally here. Our first episode. You know, I think I'm super excited. It may not sound like I'm excited, but I'm proper excited to be here today. And the person that I'm actually with today is a good friend of mine. I don't even know how long we've known each other, but it's like, it's so weird how we actually became friends. Like, it, when we're going to talk about it in a bit, but the way God actually does things is so mad. And I'm proper excited to share experiences and to see how her journey's been so far. So I would like for you guys to welcome our first guest, Grace Ajitena. Woo!
Thanks, guys. Thanks. Thank you.
Yo, what are you saying?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm all right still. But I noticed something when we got here. So basically, me and Grace, we didn't come to the studio together, but I noticed that the spirit is actually one because she decided to be wearing a denim jacket, just as I am. And, you know, fashionista and that, but
relax,
you know, some people relax, just want to, they just want to beg it, but it's calm.
Okay, first of all, yeah, I'm just saying this now, that ain't nobody begging nobody.
This is my own style.
I'm my own individual, and I'm my own person. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. But no, Grace, thanks for coming onto the show. Thanks for joining us on Worship with Isaiah and Friends. I'm sure you kind of get the gist of what's going on here.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say, firstly, thank you for actually coming on. You
know, it's all right.
I know it was a task, me trying to get you on here.
Yep.
But we conquered that, and now we're here.
Mm-hmm.
So are you excited, or are you just like, what are you saying?
I'm excited. Of course I'm excited, but I'm kind of shook, but I'm excited.
No need to be shook, man. It's nothing mad. I've got some interesting things we're going to discuss.
Amen.
But we thank God, man. Let's just get straight into it, man.
Cool.
So just tell us a bit about yourself, man. Like, who are you? What do you do? Like, just let the people know.
Okay. So my name is Grace. I'm 22 years of age, and I currently do basically like just music, more time, music, beaving for people and sessions and stuff like that, my own, all of that stuff. So predominantly music is like my main job, if you want, right now. But yeah, like I'm just here, you know, living my best life, just like your ordinary pacing, you know? Yeah.
That's what you're doing, music full time. I remember, I was actually going to ask you about it, about the fundraiser you did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, because that, I think that's when you were like, yeah, like, I'm going to try and take this music thing seriously now.
Yeah.
Like, so how's that been so far? Like, how, after getting all the funds from everyone, and it was like, literally, I'm sure it exceeded the amount that you expected.
Yeah.
So how's that been so far, like since that day? How's the process been for you?
So it's been amazing. Like, I won't lie, it's been amazing. I think the excitement is crazy in the beginning because you're just like, you're getting all your equipment and then you're sitting up in your room and you're like, oh my gosh, I got like my own mini home studio. But then it's like when it actually gets down to crunch time, that's when I think that's been a real test of my character. Yeah. Like, can I really keep going? It's crazy. I have instances, for example, of like recording a whole song and then it disappearing. Oh, or like, goodbye. Like, listen, it's such a nightmare. And it's happened like 3-4 times. So it's like there's one song that I've had to do 3 times, and at this point, it's gone at, like, right now. I haven't redone it because I can't bring myself to do it, but I will eventually. It's really, really difficult. It is.
That's long.
But apart from that, I think being able to experience a whole new level of creativity, considering I'm independently creating my own music, is probably one of the best things that's happened to me in my life. Like, it's been fun, and doing it with God as well, of course, and having people to like advise me and stuff and encourage me. It's brilliant. So yeah.
'Cause more time, it's a partnership, isn't it? Like,
'cause
it's like, you're doing everything with him, like you're writing with him, you're producing with him per se, like, because you're going to get so many creative ideas, and it's like, bruh, like, I didn't know I had an idea like that. But in more times, like, you and God working together, and it's like, okay, this ain't about, like, this is not just me, this is me and him. This is us creating a sound that will express his heart in a sense. Like, and I think that's one thing I love about making music. I think it's literally expressing the heart of God in a sense. And it's like, God is creative, isn't it? Like, he's actually creative. Like, 100%. Where do you think you get all your sounds from? Like, your ideas from? It's literally from him. So
yeah.
I think it's sick, man. Like, for me, I've been out of the studio for a time. Like, everyone knows I dropped a song in 2018 called Hearts Cry.
This is now 2020. I'm just saying.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, we know it's been a while. But the people have been telling, man, bro, like, you need to get back in the studio. I've been screaming it for myself, but you know, life, innit? Like, I'm a working man. It's tight.
We move.
But we move, innit? We move, man. But yeah. Off the back of that, let's just jump straight in then. So the first thing I kind of wanted to ask and know was literally just like, what is worship to you? Like, what is worship?
Okay, so first of all, I just have to say I can never really articulate myself well answering this question. But worship, what is worship to me? I'd have to say, to be honest, it's like, I always say that it's never just one particular moment. I always say it's never just one particular time. It's not just in church. It's not just at an event. It's not just one moment where there's a high. Like, it's an ongoing thing that is like every day, like every day that you live, right down to the thoughts that you think and the way that you speak to people and treat people, how you live life is worship unto God, because it's like acknowledging him in everything, admiring him in everything. So it's like, I feel like worship takes so many different dimensions, but I think it's a never ending thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's like,
that's good. I like that.
It's like, essentially magnifying him above everything. So it's like, in the moment, the way I think of it in my head is like, let's say there's something I know that always gets to me or always triggers me, like maybe gets me angry or irritates me. Like, for me, worship is in that moment, like admiring God and raising God above that, being like, God, I thank you that I don't have to respond the way I usually do because you've given me a heart of peace and stuff like that. Like, just like exalting him above, you know, things that kind of want to basically, I don't know how to explain it, but
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, yeah, you're definitely right.
Like, yeah.
Literally in the most mundane things of life, like, is worship.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like sometimes we kind of forget that, like, we are always worshiping in everything we do.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's a secular thing, like going to work.
Yeah.
Like, when you're working, you're still worshiping. Like, it's not even a thing where it's like, oh, the only time I can worship is when I'm in the presence of God or when I'm at church or when I'm in a meeting. Like, in everything, when you're walking down the street, you're worshiping. Like, it's in the heart, innit? Like, I feel like worship comes from the heart. It comes from your very being itself. Yeah. Like, my friend, everybody knows him, F. F said one thing the other day to me. He was like, the most basic definition of worship is simply being and existing.
Yeah,
and I was
good.
Like, "Rah, brother! Like, that's what's good. That?"
That's
I was
good.
Thinking, "What's that?" You know, them ones like, "Oh, so good, so good! Wow."
Okay,
you know them ones.
It's mad extra. Mad extra.
No, that one. No, that's a private joke, man. Okay. But yeah, no, like worship. Like, I hear your definitions, though. It's very, like, very, very similar to the way I see worship and the way a lot of people do see worship.
Mm.
But then again, it's like, there's no limit to worship as well.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes we put a cap on worship.
True.
And it's like, no, like, how can you limit God?
You
know? And it's never that. But yeah, man, like, that's good. Like, I love that. Even off the back of that as well, I wanted to find out as well, one of your, like, favourite worship experiences.
Mm.
Not off, like, you being in church, like being there because mum and dad said, "Oh, Grace, come and lead worship at church." But something that you experienced in your times of worship that kind of like changed the game for you?
Because
I feel like we've all had experiences in worship where it's been like, raw, this is mad.
Mm.
Like, I remember it was even, this is so mad because this is how I even got saved, through work, like through being in a place of worship. Back at uni, we had a choir. Shout out to University of Hertfordshire Choir. Man, we love them. United Hearts, man. That's my guys. But literally, it was in that place where we were essentially worshipping. Like, it was a simple rehearsal.
Mm.
And then we just broke out into like a spontaneous worship. And that was where I fully said, like, whoa. Mm. I had that experience of worship, like, of him.
Yeah.
And it literally changed everything for me. It was like, that's when I deeped, like, worship was something that was so close to my heart, like,
yeah,
that I kept so close to my heart, because that was kind of what brought me to know him.
Mm.
Like, being in a state of worship and being in a state of just singing unto God, singing praises unto God, singing reverencing God in that moment. So yeah, like, just something like that. Like, what is that thing that you had that kind of made worship something
for me?
For you, yeah.
I'd say one particular event, which was the first event that I had been to that I'd say I had an encounter of its kind. Well, to be honest, at all, to be honest. And it was whilst I was in uni, I was ministering at an event called Let's Praise Him in Nottingham. Mm. But obviously, once having been able to minister and stuff, like, you just get to obviously be in the congregation and stuff. This was the first time as well that I had come across Emmanuel Smith.
Okay.
So he was ministering at the time. And I remember, like, it was almost a weight. I didn't understand it, but it was like a weight that I was just experiencing. I was just like, what is this? This is really unfamiliar. Like, I don't understand what's happening. But I got to a point where I couldn't stand. And then it got to a point where he was now like, some of you are about to experience like a light and like a presence. Mm. And literally, like I literally was on my knees in my in the row that I was in, and then I just flew. Like, I flew right through the whole row. I literally flew. I had my friend next to me, and she like got pushed like unprovoked. I flew because what it was like, it was like the appearance of light came, and then I was just gone. Like, I just flew through the actual whole row. And I just remember after that, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't speak. I couldn't, like, I wasn't really aware of anything that was going on around me. Like, I was gone. But I had never felt so close. Like, it changed everything for me, because it was like, that I felt like that was the most intimate that I had been in my worship. It was the first time that I wasn't really like, oh yeah, trying to worship in any particular way. I wasn't trying to, like, you know, go by what I think I should do. I was generally just so open. And it was that moment that literally changed everything for me. Like, it made me realize how simple it really is to really encounter God. Like, you don't have to carry out routine or anything like that. Like, oh, let me try and worship the way I know to worship or anything. Just being available in that point. After that, like, it was like whether it's in my room, whether it's anywhere I go, it's just that whole letting loose and just releasing yourself. That was it. That was really it. So yeah, it was amazing.
That's mad. That is crazy. Man said you flew,
fam. Yeah, I flew. That's so mad. I flew.
Wow. Like, experiences like that, it's like you can never forget stuff.
Yeah,
like,
no, at all, not like, at all.
They always stay
not
with
at all,
you. Like,
definitely.
So many experiences, I think, that a lot of us as believers have had that we can always look back at and be like, wow, this is it. Like,
yeah.
And then it's like, there's this whole idea of like, every time you get into that mode of worship, sometimes you're even brought back to those moments like in worship. You're like, rah, okay, this is what I've experienced. And I'm like, you have that sort of, sometimes people have similar experiences like in worship, and some people have like different experiences every single time. I feel like with me, I tend to have like different experiences every time I'm in a place of worship, or if I'm leading a worship session or leading on a Sunday. Like, it's never the same. And I think that's the beauty of it as well. It's like, you will encounter the presence of God in a different way.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Like, it will never be the same. Like, you will never, you can never, like, we can't sit here and be like, if we were to do this again tomorrow, we won't have the same experience.
Mm.
With God, when you sit with God every single day, it's not going to be the same experience.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. So in your worship, it's like, I don't go into a place of worship and expect to have the same experience I had yesterday.
Mm-mm-mm.
I go in there with the idea and with the mindset that I'm going to experience something different today.
Yeah.
I'm going to experience something new, you know, because, like, you're not going to have the same experience over and over again. Same with your job. Like, you're not going to go to work one day and have a good day. The next day, you're not gonna, you might not have another good day. You might have another bad day. But with that, it's like, oh, everything is going to be different. Like, mm-hmm. when you come to that place, it's like, I can genuinely say that there's no same experience every day.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one reason why I'm doing this, is because I want to get and kind of experience through our conversations what you've experienced as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, man, it's mad. It's great. So you see, there's this thing that we love to say. When we worship, we must worship in spirit and in truth. You know? And in our generation, like, we love to worship. I've noticed we love to worship.
Mm.
Like, but my question for you is, what does it mean to worship the Father in spirit and in truth? And how can we help our generation to worship in spirit and in truth?
Well,
why do I know laughing in the background?
Well, well,
cool, like, deep question.
Like, okay, okay.
Do you want to answer the second part first?
Yeah, I might as well, you know, because that was way. as in, I want to, you know.
So, how can we help our generation to worship in spirit and in truth?
To be honest, I can't really answer that without answering the first one. Like, the first one needs, you know, I need to answer that first, you know.
Do your thing.
Okay. Let me think, okay. I need to think about this. Okay. Okay. So, what do I think it means to worship in spirit and in truth? Okay. I think when worshiping, to say one should worship in spirit and in truth, I personally feel like, to some degree, one, it can mean worshiping with the knowledge of your identity, like your truth in identity, like, because that way, essentially, like, you understand, or you worship from a point of understanding who you are. Mm-hmm. When you know who you are, essentially, you know who he is, because everything we are, he is, and everything he is, we are.
Yeah.
So it's like worshiping in spirit and in truth, essentially, is like worshiping the entirety of truth, and the entirety of truth includes who you are, if that makes sense. I feel like sometimes when people go through things, or when people are like,
what?
What's going on?
I'm so sorry. This guy... I'm sorry. And she was flowing as well. I'm so sorry. He said deeper.
Bye.
He said deeper. Revs.
Oh, no, stop.
Oh, yeah, nah. Sorry, Grace. Go on.
Okay. So, I feel like, I know I've been in this position where, okay, I won't say that this can... Okay, no, actually, how will I explain this? I feel like sometimes when I've been through times where I'm, like, struggling in terms of how I view myself, or, like, when I'm struggling in terms of, like, let's say, loving myself, seeing myself as Christ sees me, it's almost like, oh, if I'm worshiping or something, sometimes I'm worshiping with an unbelief, like, or worshiping with, like, oh, I'm not really sure if I believe the words that I'm singing right now. And I feel like That doesn't mean that the truth isn't the truth. It's just a lack of what I understand about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I feel like to worship in spirit and in truth means to come into the knowledge of worship from a place of like knowing the truth about who he is and who we are as a result of that. And I feel like because when we worship from a place of knowing who he is, essentially like even the whole nature of our worship kind of changes, because a lot of the time, like nowadays, we don't really worship really knowing him. Like we worship out of like routine or maybe like kind of set patterns that we're used to and stuff. And a lot of people are actually worshiping disconnected from understanding and not really knowing who he is. And I feel like to worship in spirit and in truth means worshiping from that place of knowing him and knowing the one that you're worshiping, because otherwise it's just like
it's like you're just singing.
Making noise on Parry Wall. Yeah, making noise. Like,
Oh, my days.
You know, so it's like.
And for those that are not Yoruba, that means you're just making noise.
Yeah, basically. So, yeah. And I'd say, okay, that's more of the aspect of truth. But to worship in spirit, I think, again, it's just recognizing. What is coming from within you is not just coming from an empty place. It is coming from his spirit. It's coming from your spirit and his spirit being one. And even when I think about like, okay, for example, creating songs, sometimes it's like, how do I, I've tried multiple times, of course, like writing for years, currently writing. Do you get what I'm saying? Like writing what, you know, what sounds right, what rhymes, you know, like patterns and all of that kind of technical stuff. But then the greatest inspiration has been the Holy Spirit. And because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit will inspire me of everything that the Spirit knows of God. Like the Bible paraphrasing speaks of how it's the spirit of a man that knows that man best, right? Something like that. Anyway, God forgive me, sorry. Yeah, so like, so it's like the Holy Spirit obviously knows the fullness of God and he's in us. So it's like you're worshiping from that, you know, and worshiping from that, that revelation. So,
It's beautiful. Like literally, as you were speaking, I was thinking about even like, you know, when we pick song lists on a Sunday, songs we were going to sing on a Sunday. Like, I feel like that's done out of routine as well. And that's why I love spontaneous worship, because it's, I wouldn't say it's more genuine, but it's, it comes from deep within. Because it's like, once you're in that place of actual, like you're worshiping the Father, it's like sometimes we pick our songs based on our congregation. So for example, let's say the like some of the adults in our church, for example, don't know songs like Wake Up the King Is Here. So it's gonna be a bit harder for them to kinda like connect or kinda like vibe with us. So it's like sometimes we have like sometimes for me sometimes I used to have this idea of I need to pick songs that everybody in the church is going to know. But then I had to kind of get rid of that and be like, bro, it's not about that.
Yeah.
It's like you're not worshipping because of the church. You're worshipping because of him. And your worship is unto him, not unto the church.
Yeah.
So it's like pick songs or pick a list that is come from your spirit, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we, one thing we always say in our choir, we say like before you know, if you know you're going to lead during the week, like prepare your heart, prepare your list before you get there, because it's like you don't want to come there and just be like, oh, I'm going to sing this song because I like this song or because it sounds good or because it gets jumpy in the service. Like we don't want to do that. We pick songs and we lead songs because of what the lyrics are teaching you or speaking to you and how it speaks to God as well.
Yeah,
you know, because we can pick songs because like most of us go to African churches, so it's like some people will just sing everybody blow your trumpet ba-da-na-na-na, because that's what they know, the congregation will know.
Yeah,
but with our generation we know like so many new songs, like new age songs. It's like, and then sometimes you just see like it will just be like, oh, I don't know this song, so it's gonna be harder. But do you think that that's a problem for you in your church when you're leading and when you're picking songs?
Yeah.
Because obviously you coming from a Nigerian church and things like that. Like, how do you go about picking lists for a Sunday service?
Mm-hmm. So I definitely spend time with God to hear what he has to say. I mean, it sometimes it seems like it's something that seems like a chore, like, oh my gosh, I got to really like, yeah, no, like, oh my gosh, I've got to spend maybe 3 days or something trying to figure out what exactly should the set be, like praise and worship be on a Sunday. But I realise I haven't actually, ironically, been leading in my church for very long at all, like not even up to a year. And I have found that as I've gone on, it's not really about, oh, I'm just trying to seek God just to find out what songs to sing on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. It naturally becomes something you're easily more aware of just by naturally spending time with him. He reveals these things because he reveals his heart. And I do find that like my process is just simply spending time with him, bearing in mind, okay, yeah, you know, church on Sunday, like, Lord, what do you want to hear from us? Like, what is it that you want to basically hear from your children? Mm-hmm. So definitely just in terms of what do? It's just spend time with God during the week. He reveals these things with intention, of course. But I do feel like it's a problem. I feel like there's obviously a lot more involvement of young people in churches that have elder congregations. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of merging two different eras. And it can be difficult trying to introduce new things. I'm excited to be able to like introduce new songs, but obviously move with wisdom. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, understand the congregation is there, you know, and it's like I know that I've got to have a balance, basically. So balance of what they do know, because they deserve an opportunity to have that time to really like connect, if you will. But then with new songs, what I realize is this, like with new songs, especially if like God is like dropping a song on your heart that's new, that your church doesn't know it, I realize that at times, sometimes they don't realize how much they can relate to the song until they hear it. I feel like sometimes it's like I know that when I go to events and stuff, when I'm in different, like, you know, maybe visiting a church or something, I don't know a song, but when I'm deep in what it's speaking about or singing about, I'm like, bruh, like, this resonates with me. Do you know what I'm saying? And and you pick it up as you go. But the point is that even if you're not necessarily singing along, your spirit is connected. And I feel like sometimes all they need is to just simply be under it. And that's what's so beautiful about music. That's what's so beautiful about corporate worship, is like you might not necessarily know it, but you're not missing out. And I feel like sometimes in this generation, we get very... we base how well we're doing off of response. And so it's like, why so many people would rather like stick to songs that everybody knows rather than introduce new things, because they're afraid the lack of response is going to basically say, wow, the anointing is not there today. Or wow, you know, my gosh, maybe I didn't pray hard enough. But that's just, we need to just abolish this, because at the end of the day, it's like the spirit is the spirit in fullness, and you have him. And it doesn't matter if it's a new song or old song, it's like he will do what he needs to do, so I feel like it's difficult, but you know, you have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God and how to operate in your particular place of worship. So
and I think as well, like, sometimes you genuinely just need to like to listen to just listen to what is being sung, you know, because sometimes you don't always have to, like, you don't always have to sing. Like, let's say if you're in a congregation, like, you don't always have to. You can, like, I know the people that just sit there and they just take it in.
Literally.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
If you don't know a song and it's like, oh, I feel like I'm not involved. But more time, you should just be listening and you just... receive, you know, like receive. That's what you're there to do. You're there to receive. We're in that place to pour. Like, we're just releasing what God is speaking to us to release to you. And that's literally simple as that.
Yeah.
And I think that is just that is one thing I personally do when I'm at a place and I kind of like don't know the song, or even times where I'm not even singing, I'm in the congregation or at another church.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's just good to listen.
Mm.
You don't always have to be singing. Like, sometimes you can sit there and just let him do what he needs to do whilst you're in that moment, you know? And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Listening is so important.
Yeah.
I mean, because what if you're always just talk? How can you not hear what he would then be speaking to you in that very moment?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could use that song to speak to your situation. He can use that song to speak to your circumstance, you know? But if you're just constantly active, then you'll miss it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's mad. But on to the next thing that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously we know you're a worshipper, and there's so many worshippers that we take in all the time. And we're just going to play a little game-ish.
Okay.
And it's like, would you rather? So like, who would you rather? You know, so I'm going to say two artists.
Okay, first of all, okay, what happens if I don't know?
You will know the artist.
Are you sure?
You will.
Okay.
I'm not going to say someone you don't know. Like.
Okay.
Unless you haven't been listening to the playlist I sent you.
Well, I mean, I have. But there's a lot in there. Like,
yeah, but there's hella artists. You don't need, like, there's better artists in the world, you know? Like, better gospel artists.
Right.
All right, cool. So, the first, let me get my list up, actually.
Let me drink some water.
Water. All right, cool. The first two people, would you rather collaborate with Tasha Cobbs or Kiara Sheard? Why?
Kiara Sheard. Sorry. Why? Okay. That was so fast, but I have to give.
That was very fast. Like, she didn't even consider Tasha Cobbs. Like no. Tasha Cobbs is not a beast.
She is. She absolutely is. But I have to give a backstory. When I was younger.
Okay. Story time, guys. Story time.
When I was younger, one of the first like artists that were sangers that I got introduced to was Kiara Sheard.
Okay. Sangers.
Yeah, because you know there's singers, there's sangers, and then there's sangers.
There's sangers, like when you can, you know when you're doing the, like you're stretching and that.
Okay,
she's
that?
A sanger.
Yeah, but she is. Nah, no. Yeah, so I got introduced to her like by my brothers, and I became her, like as in I listened to her so much that I practically just became her. Like they used to call me, they got to a point where they called me Mini Kiki. Like I loved her so
Kiki,
and I still do.
Know?
I love her so much. She's amazing. And obviously she's had impact on me since like when I was young. So if I had to choose, it'll be her. be her. Not like, you know, because one is better than the other. They're both crazy. They're both beasts. So
but you've kind of had more of an experience with one's music than the other.
Yeah, essentially.
So that kind of like pushes the edge.
Yeah.
And that's sick. Okay. This one. I don't know. You might be a bit, I don't know, but Bethel or Upper Room? Oh yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. I went there.
Do I have to choose? can I just leave it? Like
it's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, that is difficult.
Because Upper Room have some serious.
They have some songs
like that. I think it's their design project.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Glory, Jesus.
Oh my gosh, that thing there, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Bethel. Oh gosh.
That's really, really, really hard.
It's very hard, isn't it?
That's so hard. Gosh. Okay, I have to say Bethel only because I know more Bethel music.
Mm.
Like I literally like the predominant, like. My listening to gospel music, or CCM, is Bethel. and I won't lie, like they, them and Elevation, like they take up. I know Elevation. A lot of, I know a lot like of like their music. So like, I really enjoy their music.
They've gone quiet, you know? Elevation have gone quiet.
Kind of house though.
Yeah, but you know, need to drop some new songs for us, Elevation Church.
Please and thank you. Yeah, correct. But yeah, if I, only because of that, only because I'm more familiar with Bethel. But apart from that, it's really difficult. It's actually so difficult.
This one, I don't know if you really know them. Well, you should know them. Okay. I'm just trying to do like very current people, and then we're going to do three more.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to do one current, two currents, and then one old school.
Mm. Okay.
So this one, Dante Bao or Chandler Moore?
What is wrong with you? What is actually wrong with you? Like, what is that?
What is that? Is that not fair?
What is that? Like, obviously, my God, she's because, no, you can't do that.
What, is it difficult?
Personally, I think that's pretty impossible.
Because, like, I think even it's impossible with me, like, I kind of like,
oh my gosh.
I've been told that the way, like, I've got their kind of vibe.
So I'd
like,
say so.
Bruh, like, yeah, I'll take that. Like, I'd say so. They're my guys, like, yeah.
Dante Bao and, but you want me to choose between them? Yeah. But it's like. Yeah. Anyway.
You might as well just say me instead.
No. I would not.
But now you have to pick.
My gosh. Okay. Jesus. Lord. This is too hard.
But who edges it?
This is too hard. Okay.
Now, who's the first name that comes to your head?
Chandler Moore.
Okay. Why?
Again, it's this thing of who am I more familiar with? I've been more aware of Chandler Moore for a lot longer than I don't know how to say his name.
Dante Bao.
I don't know again. But yeah, it's just because one's more aware of Chandler Moore and stuff. Yeah. I really like, obviously, love Chandler Moore because the whole him playing guitar and worshiping, like, it's very difficult. Like, it's so hard. So I instantly take to anyone that can do it and execute it so well in it, because that is just, that's the way to really, my girls,
get to your
my
heart.
Girls, get to me. And
so what you saying, well, when we do our spontaneous session, you're going to back out the guitar?
Absolutely not.
Wait.
That was never happening.
Why would you not? Why not?
Because some of us cannot play and sing at the same time.
Okay, but
correctly.
The video that is on our page, you were definitely playing.
You see, people always say this. And
but
I
you were playing.
I need to make this point right now. Let me tell you as I look into this camera. People don't understand when I'm in my room where there's nobody there, I'm by myself. It cannot compare to being in front of people and then people are now singing with you. Like, everyone
like
wants to throw
five
you off.
Of us in the room.
It doesn't matter. Sir, let me tell you now.
No, but we want to hear.
I cannot do it.
And because God
is
the greatest power.
Next one, please. Because you're to stress me out.
Okay, this one is going to rattle you. I'm not even going to lie. To be honest, it depends on how you actually take them. So okay. I'm giving you three people.
Okay.
Willie McDowell.
Okay.
Israel Houghton. And what's the third person's name? Kirk Franklin.
First of all, what?
I don't even think that's fair.
It's not.
I genuinely don't think that's even fair.
That's not fair.
You can put them, rank them in your three.
What?
As your three.
We're ranking. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do that. Let's rank them.
Okay. If I had to rank them. Okay, general.
Yeah, in general terms, not like production-wise or just
like thinking about anyone's particular album. Okay, yeah. Okay. So three. So I'll go 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
So three would be Israel Houghton. Two would be Kirk Franklin. One, William McDowell. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that still.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah.
Okay. I hear that
stuff. Wait, do you have a different opinion?
Me personally, only because I don't have an experience. I wouldn't say I've had an experience with Kirk Franklin's music like that.
Okay.
I would probably put, my order would probably be, I feel like William McDowell edges it only because of the recent album. Because I really took it and I said, yeah. I said, whoa. Because I never really listened to him like that.
I did.
But I was an Israel guy. Israel was my guy.
Really?
Yeah, Israel was my guy.
See, I haven't listened to Israel like that.
Like, so. I've listened to Israel like that from, like, from Quay back. So it would be, for, as if we're talking right now, it'd be William McDowell, Israel, and Kirk.
Okay.
I mean, I love Kirk Franklin, but he just, he never really, like, I never connected with his music like that.
I hear that. I hear that.
So it was always, like if I was to go to one person out of all three of them, my go-to man would probably be Israel.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but I prefer William McDowell.
Okay, yeah. I hear that.
Yeah, it's mad. It's mad. So last one. The last one we're going to do. Chatelet. All right, cool. So, if you don't know this lady, I'm going to fight you.
Probably don't.
No, you should, actually. If you don't listen to her music, then...
I really don't listen to, like, a wide range.
Okay, this is an interesting one. Okay. Naomi Rain.
Okay.
Or Stephanie Gretzinger. Bear in mind the project I recently sent you as well. We want to be the place where your glory dwells.
Yeah, that's what makes it so hard. Like,
remember?
Sorry?
And then Stephanie, but Stephanie's just like, gee, I remember at Jesus 18, yeah. Oh, my days. I remember the first night, Jesus 18, Stephanie was leading, yeah. Literally, I was like, she didn't even sing, but I was on my knees, yeah. And all she did was, she made one sound, yeah. She made one sound, and I remember I just got hit with one woof. And I was just in tears.
Nah. She's different.
Face down. Like,
she's
in tears,
different.
Man.
She's
like,
different.
That.
I think it's the fact that you can have that even without being like there in such a physical moment. You literally experience every single time whenever you listen to her.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've made my decision. It has to be Stephanie. Yeah. One, because I haven't listened to Naomi Rain as much, like at all, actually, which is
she's
really
great,
really. Like, she's only amazing. Recently having you sent me stuff and that. But Stephanie Gretzinger, she is
amazing.
Different. Yeah, like, she's heavy. So,
like, her heart for God is mad.
You
like,
see it every time.
Every time she speaks, every time you just, like, you come across an interview or a conversation she's had. Like, it's inspirational, man. Like, she inspires me as a musician as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff I've seen her, like you can see in her eyes, like, it's so raw and so rich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. So that's your decision, Stephanie.
Stephanie.
I mean, shout out to Stephanie Gretzinger, man. Yeah. She's amazing. But yeah, so my final question, because I think we answered the last question I was going to ask already.
Okay.
So my final question for you today is, a lot of young people between the ages 13 to... let's say 18, really struggle with expressive worship.
Mm.
As in, like, the outward display of worship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that we can kind of, like, tackle that, and how can we see that change? Or how can we... how can we get through to that kind of age group and tackle the whole idea of expressive worship?
Mm.
You see how, because you know, there's a lot of flag dance and all of that. Expressive worship is quite odd to them. So, like, how do we help them to kind of see that as inward worship as well as outward worship? I'm not gonna lie, I don't even have an answer for that,
like,
question.
This is actually not something that I've ever really thought about, to be honest.
It's so interesting when you think about it.
Yeah, Like, I think it's, I feel like, to be honest, even me, I can't lie, when it came to stuff like expressive worship, especially like interpretive dance and you know, and all of that stuff, I never even, that's something that's only really become a thing to me, I'd say probably in the past year, 2 years of my life. Like, it's not something that I was always really, I knew of it, but it, for example, it didn't happen at church, and you know, I wasn't really going to a lot of things that I got to see a lot of expressive worship. But I think the best way to be able to warm people up to it, or warm young people up to it, is just, is it wise to say just like normalize it? Because it's not that it's not normal, but it's people just don't experience it. And I feel like explaining things, like explain why do people do it? Like, why is it considered like worship? What about it is worship? Do you know what I'm saying? And it's just, you know, explaining the thing I said earlier about worship taking so many different dimensions.
That's why we got platforms like this, man, to explain these things.
And stuff like that. And in terms of if anyone's struggling, like, to actually tap into that or release themselves or, like, become more expressive. Again, when, it's funny because, okay, let's take, for example, just like a worship leader, right?
Yeah.
And I, like, people don't get, for example, if people see me before ministrations and stuff, like, people don't see how I brick it. Like, I'm so nervous and stuff. Yeah. And people don't get it because whenever I get up there, it's almost like, what nerves kind of thing.
Yeah.
The only reason why one can even be so, like, fluent or free in terms of expression is because I express myself the same way in my home. Wow. It's normal. Yeah. It's like my, it's my nature. It's like whatever I'm able to do outside is because I do it when no one is looking. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the best way for anything to become the norm is to live it every day. In terms of like confidence and boldness and all of that stuff, those things can be prayed for, yes, but like there's also the aspect of, are you allowing yourself to be that free when no one else, when no one is looking and no one is around you and stuff like that, and it's knowing that you can be, and knowing, but at the same time, I mean, there is the part of me that thinks about maybe some people are just naturally a lot more calm in terms of how they worship or how they like release themselves. Maybe some people are just naturally a lot more calm and stuff. That doesn't take away from their effect. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know if that made sense.
No, it does. It does. Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. No, man, it's mad. Like, I mean, personally, I don't think I'd know how to answer that. But I think the point you touched on about the way people worship, like some people are just calm in worship and some people are just mad expressive. Like I've met some mad expressive people. But then again, in a sense, it kind of scares young people as well because it's like, jam, like what's this? But then that's because you don't have an understanding of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing we have to do before we kind of like introduce it to people. But I mean, you can't really, you can't really
lay foundations, essentially, teach people things.
Like worship is so important. Like understanding worship as well is so important because it's like when people see it, it's just like, what are you lot doing? Like, let's say, for example, an unbeliever comes to your church for the first time and they see all of that. It's going to be weird for them, but because they don't really understand it. But in due time, in due course, you get to understand why people are like that. It's because of the joy that they have inside of them. You know, I love like worship. Like, I think that stuff is lit. Me personally, like I can't do it, but
I love it.
I think it's so beautiful because it's like, like that stuff looks fun, but it looks tiring as well. So shout out to you lot that are jogging throughout worship.
It's so true.
Like you lot that jog like for that straight
just
half an hour. I'm
like,
just like
5 minutes.
Bro, like,
I'll be winded. Oh, God, do that. Breathing. I can't do it.
Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. But that it's mad.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, man.
It's amazing.
Like, yeah, it's been great. But now I just want to ask you one more question. When's the album dropping?
Oh, right. Got the cameras? Everybody, let's
call it a day. So when are we getting that album,
let's
Grace?
Let's call it a day.
When are we getting that album,
I always say this to all my mates that keep throwing this album word around. People need to understand
prophecy.
That there is a process. Like, you don't just, you're not just an up-and-coming artist or whatever, and you just, like, well, I mean, maybe people have done it in the past. You just appear with an album. There's levels. Like, you got to just warm people, you know?
Yeah,
maybe one song, maybe another song.
You know, someone said this to me the other day. I was like to them, oh, so when is your album coming out? And they were like, I don't think that's how it works.
Thank you.
No, but personally, no. Real talk, though. Like, if you're an artist, huh?
My God.
Oh, what, me? Oh, for Grace. Her next song is probably tomorrow.
No.
Tomorrow?
No, it's not tomorrow.
When's your birthday again?
That don't matter.
When's your birthday again?
That don't matter.
When's your birthday again?
That don't matter. No. Okay. My birthday is May.
Oh, well, we're the same month. I just
Yeah, I know.
Your May baby as well. What?
Yeah,
wait, when's your birthday again? May what?
12th.
12th. Okay. Yeah, so what? Birthday treat and that. Drop a single for us.
No.
You heard it here first, guys. Grace Adjitenda is going to drop a single on her birthday.
No.
Yeah. No.
No.
Oh my days. But nah. I'm joking though. But yeah, I mean, thanks. At some point in the future, we'll be expecting some
of
songs.
Course.
Maybe even a collaborative song.
True. True.
Who knows?
To be honest, I don't think that's gonna happen. Let me tell you why I don't think that's gonna happen. Because this camera. Okay. I'll tell you why I don't think it's going to happen.
Why?
This lad right here.
Oh, God.
Once upon a time, I'm pretty sure it was in the year 2019, that he said that we'll have a writing session. It's 2020 and the writing session has not happened. Can I just say, I don't think
it's
happening.
Happened?
He's not a serious candidate.
Oh.
I mean, personally, I'm...
No, but you know what happened?
You finished.
Basically, Grace disappeared for like 6 months.
Okay, but... Okay,
and
but
nobody could contact
okay,
her.
Okay, but
so
it's going through some things. Okay,
so that's not my fault. I mean, if you want to write, let's write.
No, but then actually, no, cancel that, because he said that he went on a trip, he traveled, he came back, and I didn't hear anything.
Oh my days!
No. Oh, so yeah, I remember it now.
Actually sorry. Oh, by the way, I forgot your keyring at home. Sorry. Yeah, I just thought I'd throw it out
right,
now.
Right. You know what?
Yeah, it's long. But yeah, so yeah, guys, it's been great. Where can we find you? Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, socials, so we can see more of those videos. I mean, the people were loving your video, by the way, so we might have to slap another one up there soon. But obviously, because we're going to do our worship session, we're going to have a lot of footage from that as well. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so where can we find you? What's your socials? What's your this? What's your that? How can we get you bookings? You know, them things there. Like
okay.
Weddings and that. You know them ones.
Absolutely no weddings. Just no weddings. I'm so sorry. The last wedding gig I did, yeah, I just said, this is not my calling.
Grace is getting bookings like that.
This is not my...
Teach me, please. Like, teach me.
Anyway, anyway, you can... Wait, which camera am I looking into? This one still.
That one.
Okay. So I only really use my Instagram right now. Mm. So you can find me on Instagram at Ms Grace_XO.
Okay. That's calm.
It's all right.
Yeah. Ms Grace, MS, right?
Yeah, MS yeah. Grace_XO.
That's lit. Yeah, man. Grace, it's been amazing.
Cheers.
You the best.
Thank you.
And guys, thank you for joining us on our first episode. Thank you for staying this long, making it to the end. And we are out.
Peace.